for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Sunday morning service of the Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. This is the final service of the meetings. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the minister of the morning.
Brother Bob Trench from South Africa is going to instruct us concerning the communion this morning, and then we'll all be served and partake together.
In about 1950, in our home was a man by the name of David Duplessis. And he was in hiding from his own denomination that some of the zealots wanted to kill him because he had gone to Rome and had shared Pentecost with the Catholics. And we had a meeting, a couple of meetings with him, and we were having a Holy Ghost time in an Irish hotel called Killarney Hotel. And all the ne'er-do-wells and all the sinners were pouring in their hundreds, and the Christians and the churches were staying away. And then we had all these new converts by the end of the week. And so we decided that we would have a communion service in the Killarney Hotel. And so one of the fellows who was recently converted during the week, he was instructed to go and purchase the wine. Well, of course, he didn't. Well, he went and bought wine. They never had communion wine, so he just bought brandy. And I can still see David Duplessis. Yeah, he stood this side and I was this side, and we were trying to be very good, you know, very religious. And so I served him first, and he took a sip, and he went... But he was too polite to say anything to me, and he gave it to me, and I went like that. And then he says to me, "What's in you?" I said, "I had no idea. But we served everybody, and they all took this horrible stuff. And then afterwards we asked him what happened. He said, "Well, he went for communion wine to the liquor store, and they said they didn't have anything. So he said, 'Well, give me the best you got.' So they, and they gave him the strongest they had. But when you come to communion service, Jesus, he said, "I want you to do this in remembrance of me until I come." Now, the problem was the church, they said that we never had the right to give communion, and David Duplessis had been thrown out at that stage, so he had wondered, I don't know whether they had some theological reason why he can't take communion. But I'm just a businessman. I found out that they used to take communion every day.
Hallelujah.
In the homes. So I went to the rabbi to ask him, "Well, what's it all about?" It's no good going to the pastors because they were all angry with us. So I went to the Jewish guy. I thought we'd get something for nothing. From a Jew, you're not doing too bad, you know. And I wrote it down. I've always kept it with me, and I'm going to read it to you. And you know, they know quite a bit about what Jesus was doing, some of these rabbis. Yeah. Pity they don't do what he said, but let me see if I can find it now. These are my notes. But I'll tell you what, I haven't got as much notes in here as he's got scribbled in his Bible. I borrowed his Bible, and you can't even see what's there because of all his handwriting. And we're going to have to deal with Tom when I come back. He said, the rabbi told me there were five toasts that... Don't you give any family secrets about him. He'll use them against me, you know that. He said that Jesus would have proposed five toasts. Remember on one occasion he said, "But this cup, I'm not going to drink until I come back." There's one cup that we never drink, one toast we never say, until Jesus Christ returns. I'm just going to touch on some of them. The one toast was, it's called life. They drink a toast to life. And by that, what they really mean is that you took us out of Egypt and and you gave us a new life. So when we take the wine this morning, I'm going to ask you to drink a toast with me to the new life in Jesus Christ. Now, I know these goblets are going to be very small. You know, that's the size of them. I don't know how we get all the toast out, so just take a little bit. And the second cup is to freedom. If any man be free in me, he's free indeed. And the third cup was to peace. So Jesus talking with his disciples, they would have drunk a toast to the coming out of slavery, new freedom, and then a cup of peace. The fourth cup, strangely enough, was to maturity. May we become a strong nation. I found that quite fine. But the final toast that they believe Jesus did not drink when he said, but I won't drink of this cup. They always used to drink to Jerusalem. In fact, they still do. They still, the final toast is always to Jerusalem, even though they're there. But that to Jerusalem means victory. And when Jesus comes, he will pick up the cup. And we'll pick up our cups. And we'll all look to our Father, and we'll drink victory.
Amen.
We forget with all the battles we're through, victory is guaranteed. Now, when we had this trouble with David Duplessis and all the people up against us in the 1950s, we had to really find out what we were supposed to do. How are we supposed to do it? What's it really mean? And how many of you know we found out that a lot of the things we were doing in the denominations were not very scriptural?
Right.
First of all, wherever I went, especially in the Presbyterian Church, it was a funeral procession. You had to all be sad and down, and they played tunes to match it. And you, then it said, remember him, and so we all had to try and visualize Jesus on the cross. Well, that's not remembrance, that's visualization.
He's not there.
And that's also true. But you can only remember somebody you've been with. You could remember me, but you can go and tell your friends about me, but they can never remember me, because they weren't here. You understand what I'm trying to say? So we can't remember the cross. We were not there. But we can remember the day we met him.
Amen.
We can remember the day he forgave us.
Yes.
Remember the day he healed us. Remember the day he blessed us. He saved us. He restored us. Amen. There must be many things by now that you should be able to remember about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That brings it right up to date. Takes it out the history book. Puts it right into your heart. Jesus said, when you do it, remember me. But then he said, until. Now, we were having real problems because they were telling us, you know, unless you're ordained and you're this and that, you couldn't take communion. And I mean, they even had write-ups in the paper that we had correspondents coming talking to us because it was a big thing. They were trying to find out where he was living. You know, people, when it comes to doctrine, people kill. Kill. Don't you dare do something different to what they believe.
Right.
But he said, until I drink it with you. So where is he going to drink it? With us. This is not only a remembrance. This is also an anticipation.
Amen.
Not just remembrance, it's anticipation. Mm-hmm. And I want to read from Isaiah 13:13 out of Tom's Bible, which is very difficult. Because you've got to read between the lines. Thanks, Tom. Thelma has packed my Bible. We packed last night or early this morning. And we didn't want to have to go and look for it. So I think it's a 13:13 says, this is until he comes. 1313. My accent. All right? You need to pray for the interpretation when I speak. And this is what we discovered in 1950, or thereabouts. Give me a year or two either way, you know. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. The next one I want you to find for me will be Hebrews 12:26. And the earth shall remove out of her place when he comes. Now Jesus prayed, he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. On earth? Yeah, as it is in heaven. The kingdom's coming where?
In earth. Yes.
On the earth.
Uh-huh.
And then it says the earth is going to what? Move out of its place.
Uh-huh.
So we're weird. That means it's going out of this galaxy. Because it's in this galaxy.
Yes.
We're going for a space ride. A dead silence because it's new, isn't it? See, when we share something new, everyone, I wonder if that's true. I just read it. It's in Tom's Bible, not mine. I didn't read it out of mine. And it's surprising you can find it with all the marks he's got around it. But this earth, you see, when he comes, the Bible says, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither entered the mind of man what God has prepared for them that love him. What did Jesus say? I'm going to prepare a place. And where do you think that place is? It's in some other galaxy. And it says, if you read on, it says, the sun won't shine. You don't need it. The moon won't be seen anymore. The stars won't be there. But it's going to go into another galaxy. When it goes into the other galaxy, this is the anticipation of this. The anticipation is, your eye can't imagine, see it, your ear can't have it, your mind can't imagine it, but God's got something prepared for us. I was in a very pro-Jewish place once, and they were saying, well, the church has failed, but God's got the reserve Israel, this old Judaism going to come back and be reinstated and take over. No, I believe we're the handiworks of God. We're God's masterpiece. And the whole of this earth is going to receive his great kingdom, and it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that we have never seen, and we're going into another place. And it says we're going to put on space suits. It actually says this is mortality we'll put on.
Immortality.
If you want to read in today's language, we put a new space suit on. And it says this whole earth is going to be burnt up with fervent heat. If we start traveling through space, the scientists tell me, he's going to catch a light. You'll need your new body. You'll need your new spacesuit that he's going to supply. In Malachi it says, and I mean every time you mention Malachi, you reach for your purse in America. In fact, I'm surprised some guy, some entrepreneur, shouldn't have sold to the Christians handbags and purses called Malachi. Malachi said, besides giving away your money, he said the righteous will walk on the ashes of the unrighteous. This earth's going to be burnt up, and it's going to be burnt up and made new for you. See, when we prayed here for this little girl, in the new heaven and the new earth, you'll never see that.
Amen.
Amen.
No. See these wrinkles? See this bald patch? See the blemishes on Tom and his Bible? You'll never see that. And it says, do this until we go there. It says, just do this, will you? Can I come?
Oh, yes.
And then you'll know what love is.
Amen.
Then you'll know. And he says, I'll gather you all up. I'll take this whole earth, all the believers, they've all come out the grave. He said, we'll all be here. I've returned. The saints have returned with me. We'll be having a glory session. And there will be the purifier of the Holy Ghost. And we will go into the place prepared for us in some galaxy. We won't get the sun. It's the sun that makes you grow old, they tell me. We'll never see the moon again. We're not even going to see these stars anymore. But you guess what we are going to see? Father and Jesus, and we're going to see one another as God intended us to be. So he says, when you do this, until I come, there's an anticipation must be here. And so we're going to share this with you, and I want you to have an anticipation. How many think it's the first time you heard that this earth's going into another galaxy, Mercy? And how many would like to be on that ride? I tell you, it's going to be a lot better than getting burnt up. Okay? Now, I don't quite know how we normally do it, so I'm just going to ask you to come. Would you mind coming? Tom, we're going to just share the bread. Just take a piece. And I'd like you to hold it, and then we'll just eat it together. Can we do that?
Praise God. Hallelujah.
You'd like to help, Tom?
Sure. Joel's coming.
Off we go. Now, I'm just going to pray over the bread. I was going to hold your hand, but I see you don't want to hold my hand. How do you know that if he and I went to town and we were not Christians, we'd paint this town red? Irma and Thelma would have a job to find us, but they just go down the local jail, you'll get us. But we're now Christians, and you just go wherever the Holy Ghost is going to fall, and we're hoping to be there. One thing I've loved about him, we see eye to eye. I don't have any trouble. We can't afford to have a doctrinal difference, because God commanded him and commanded me many years ago to love one another.
Amen.
I think he does lots of things wrong. He thinks I do lots of things wrong, so I won't. But God covers us. Father, you told us to do this. And we're not doing this at all religious. We're doing it because you said we do it until you come. And there was an indication there that you wanted us to be expecting you to come. And so we're saying, hey, we're not only expecting you, we're longing for you to come. You saw us pray for this little girl this morning. And Father, we're sick and tired of the ravages of this world upon our people and upon your people. But we know that you're coming to set us free of all those problems. So we say, dear Lord, just come. Now we do this because you told us we remember you. We're remembering our salvation, our baptism of the Holy Ghost, our healings, and all the great things you've done for us. We take this. We thank you that you went to the cross so that all these things can happen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Serve the people. Will you? I think we just put all the bread out first, and then we'll all eat bread together. If you can hold it for a second or two.
Sure.
Okay, we'll just wait a moment, if it's all right with you. Let everybody have some bread, and we don't eat until we've all got it together. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are a few things we can do together, and this is one of them. I must tell you that at that communion, that first communion service in the Killarney Hotel in 1950, we were boycotted by lots of people. And we were walking down the street with David Duplessis a couple of days later, and we met these two Pentecostal preachers. And David said to May, "We've missed you. Why didn't you come?" And the one fellow said, "Oh, we've heard that you had alcohol." And David said to him right in the street, "If that's your problem, brother, let's pray for you." Yeah. He knew how to make enemies as well as friends, old David did. Just hold the bread. To me, it's lovely to hear people laughing, rejoicing, smiling. Because when I was brought up, and communion used to worry me. Now it's a happier occasion because he's coming back. And I can remember all the good things he's done. That's just the foretaste of what it's really going to be like. Now, will he be able to sing forever without getting a sore throat like he's got? And like we all got, he go on forever. Imagine that. I wonder what kind of piano accordion he's going to have over there. I believe God will give him a bagpipe. I think that'll be good. He says all things are going to be new, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm willing.
He looks a bit like a Scotsman to me, you know.
Oh, yeah. English and Scots.
Good. Okay, something good about you. You know, Jesus would have been delighted to see his children happy. He gets no thrill out of seeing us sad. But I am anticipating. It says in Hebrews somewhere, Tom was going to look it up. He said he's going to shout, the earth will tremble and shake. It's the same thing as Isaiah 13. It says everything that's not of the kingdom will fall away. And only the kingdom is left shimmering in the new galaxy. Thank you. All right, let's just do the bread. Shall we do that? Have you all got the piece of bread? Who hasn't got bread? We do this in remembrance. Now, what are you going to remember? Something. Only you can know. Do you want to remember your salvation? Do you want to remember your healing? Well, just think of what it is. And as you put this to your mouth, say, "I'm remembering that great thing you did for me." And tell him what it was. Will you do that? Then Jesus said, "This is my blood." He said, "I'm giving my blood so that one day I can come back and collect all of you and take you to this wonderful place out in some other galaxy. I'll take the whole earth with, and I'll make it all new just for you. No sinners are going to be there. No unrighteous, only those who love the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "This is my blood I want you to hold the cup, don't drink it, and then we're going to drink a toast to His Majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Thessalonians it says that the Lord will descend with a shout.
Amen.
Have you ever wondered what He's going to shout? And the voice of the trumpet. I've often tried to wonder, think, well, what would He shout? Is He going to say, I'm coming, or I'm here? But it says when He comes, in Hebrew it says He's going to only shout one more time. Since the cross is only going to be one more shout, and when He does, for us, it's all new.
Hallelujah.
It says, we which are alive and remain, and those that have come back, it's all for us. This whole world is for us. You know, it says the riches of the unrighteous are stored up for us. Well, you try and get some of the riches away from the unrighteous, it's very difficult. But let me tell you, they're going to have no option in that day. The whole earth is ours. Glenn and I have already decided which sections we're going to have. We're going to try and get as snuggle up as close to Him as we can. But the way Tom's marked his Bible, he's going to be sent off to Mars. I don't know what they're going to do with Tom. I have no idea.
No, nobody can read it but him.
I'm so glad my Bible's locked up so he can't have a look at it. I often have to call Thelma and I can't read my own notes. I say, what does that mean? And there's one thing about toast that we're going to drink in a moment. In the British part of the world, before you go out to battle, you always drink a toast. And you always drink the toast to the monarch, to the king or the queen. And what you go out, you say, I'm going into that battlefield against the enemy in the name of our king. And I believe there's some of that involved here. It's also a time when you get ready. You've had a great time. The Bible says before you drink and eat, you examine yourselves. I never touched that because you've been all weekend doing that. But I also want you to anticipate this victory. I can imagine a dais where the King of Kings stands and all the Christians of every generation come marching past.
Hallelujah.
They'll be the first generation. And they'll march past and they'll salute the king.
Amen.
The second generation. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we're the last generation? You look out for me and I'll look out for you and maybe we'll march together. But we're going to march past the dais and we'll salute him. As we go by. The last generation. Imagine that. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? We wrap it all up. We see it all happen. In the year 2000 and something, it could happen. I know. Glenn just gets the revelation and tells us we all know. It could happen. I got a feeling we're that close. You know, they've just taken the stone of scone from under the throne and put it in Scotland. Why would they do that? I heard a teacher when I was a boy that when he comes for that stone of destiny, it'll be outside the Roman Empire. It is now outside the confines of the old Roman Empire. Have we all got our glasses charged? I'm going to ask everyone to reverently and quietly as you know how to stand. It's a very solemn moment.
Amen.
In principle, it would be required in our part of the world that the door be opened. Because the rabbi told me, he said, whenever they drink their last toast, they open the door. So if Elijah wanted to return or the Messiah wanted to come, he could walk in. And I would like to suggest you think about this sometimes. But we don't need to open the door if our heart door is open. Because He's in our hearts. Now we're going to drink a toast to the return of His Majesty, Jesus Christ, and the creation of the new heaven and earth, especially for us who believe in Him. To the return of Jesus Christ and the formation of the new heaven and the new earth for us. kidabara sandi shiki, haida bonda, nanda raisi kididabaida bahunda barasandi yahi, hundai shika, nanda barasandi shikida, zidi barasandi, nanda kukadaba, sidi shidabarasandi ki, tudabaradabarasandi, hukaya labarasandi. I have spoken it. I have caused it to be read. There is nothing that can forestall it. There is nothing that will hinder it. For when I have spoken, I have watched over it. And the day is coming when you shall know that I have kept my word. I will keep every dot and tittle. I will not allow anything to escape. Know you this in your hearts. I have indeed prepared places that you know not of. But you shall rest in them, and you shall know in that day that it was great and it was wonderful, and you shall understand. But now you may see through a glass darkly, but you shall not be overcome, for I have endued you with my spirit, and you shall receive understanding. And the day is coming when you shall be manifested as you have never yet thought possible, and you shall be read and seen of all men. And you shall not be as a letter that is covered by an envelope, but you shall be as a letter pinned to a tree that all men shall see and know it is of me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
All we can say, Lord, just come.
Yes. Come, Lord Jesus.
Just come.
Yes.
We are ready, Lord, as best we know how. We've prayed for everything we know. We've tried everything, but what we really need is you. And when you come, we know it'll be complete. And we agree that the whole of creation yearns for your returning. But we tell you that we also voluntarily yearn for you. Help our unbelief. Now, Father, I pray that as we leave, that you would watch over them. You would care for them. You would bless them. You would continue to prepare them for the great things you've prepared for all of us, that we might become victorious people in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. God bless you. I wonder, would you be seated? Thelma and I have to leave because we have to be in Dallas fairly soon. But I just want to thank Glenn. We've not had time to fellowship, but every time I see you, I feel encouraged. You have no idea when I discovered the rapture theory that I used to believe. And I began to try and question people and try to get to the truth of it. And the opposition and the lies and the stories that were told about me across this nation, across South Africa and in Britain and all over. But there was one lighthouse that was shining. And you were the lighthouse.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed being with you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord a minute. Amen. Come on, let's praise Him.
Hallelujah.
Raise your hands and praise the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord God, this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Amen. I'm going to minister a few minutes here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can I minister to both of you? Praise God. Can I have your hand? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. For surely my hand is upon thee, and surely my spirit has drawn thee to this place. Yea, rejoice thou in the Lord. For thy feet shall go many places in the days ahead. Yea, my wooing and my direction, yea, shall be at thy side. Fear thou not man, but fear thou God. For the Lord God is your strength and your high tower. And you can run to Him in the time of storms. The storms have come, the storms have blown. But I, the Lord God, shall stand with thee, and I shall help thee. I shall undergird thee. I shall walk and talk with thee in this hour. For surely my hand is upon thee. Fear thou not man, but again, fear thou God. For yea, the Lord God does lay out His plan before thee. Walk thou in it, saith God, and thou shalt be blessed. The Lord shall lead you into new circles, new places, even new faces. God said, it's your time, it's your day. So rejoice, for God has heard your cry, saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Sister. Sister, the Lord says, look not behind you. Those things that are behind you are gone. And God said, it's a new day for you. It's a new time in God for you. Arise. The Lord also arises as well with healing in His wings to you. And He causes you to rise up above all your circumstances, your plans and purposes, and you'll come into mind, saith the Lord. Fear thou God. God is with thee. God shall open your eyes. God shall open your ears and know that the Lord shall direct thy path for the steps of a good man, a good woman are ordered by the Lord. I will order thy steps, saith the Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him this morning. Hallelujah. Let me come around there. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let me come around through here, sister. Let's praise Him. Let's stand the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise your God. Praise God. Praise God. My son, the Lord is with thee. And the Lord has blessed thee going out and coming in. And the Lord has seen your obedience and He's seen your heart. And know that God does minister to your inner man even this day. And the Lord said, I'm with thee. Yea, I'm with thee this day, my son. Hear the voice of the Lord thy God. Yea, the Lord shall direct thee. There shall be a new direction. There shall be a new direction from the Lord. And thou shalt walk in it. And thou shalt be blessed. Yea, others shall think, well, this man's strange. He does things strange. But I, the Lord, have directed, and thou shalt be obedient, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 For surely the Lord God is with thee, and God shall turn thee around. Yea, the Lord shall turn you as in a circle, and thou shalt go even a new direction. And the direction shall come from the presence of God. God shall speak into thy spirit, and it shall be a new move, a new way, a new direction. And thy heart shall rejoice, and others shall join thee. And yea, thou shalt be a great blessing, and revival shall break out. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him today. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Your prayers, the Lord says, have come up before me as alms, even as Cornelius prayed, and his prayers came up, and I sent the angel. Know that God has sent His angel around thee. He has protected thee. He has kept thee. Yea, even in the time of destruction, even when we're not conscious of it. And I say, my protection is over thee. Yea, walk thou in God. Hallelujah. Walk thou in God. Praise God, sister. Praise God. Thou art called to be an intercessor. Thou art called to walk in the Spirit. Yea, the Lord God says, lay down your will, pick up my will, and yea, because of your intercessions, many shall be spared, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Phil, the Lord said, it's a new day also, my son, for you. And yea, God is cutting off the old, but He's bringing forth the new. And the new that He is doing, yea, shall astonish others. For surely saith the Lord God, I am with thee. I shall strengthen you out of Zion this day. New strength, new vigor, new vitality, and a new vision from the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let's praise Him. Let's praise our God. Come on, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We worship you today, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Joel, the Lord is with thee, and I see healing coming. I see healing coming in your hands. God is touching your hands today. The power of God, the miraculous power of God shall come into your hands. And as I speak and as I direct, thou shalt touch others with these hands, saith the Lord. For they shall not be your hands, but they shall be my hands upon your hands, saith the Lord. And I am healing others, saith God. So listen to the voice of God. For there shall be a great move of the Lord through thee, saith God, in this hour and the days ahead. For healing shall touch many, saith the Lord. I just saw it by the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Brother and Sister Trench, the Lord is with thee. And the Lord is surround thee with His power and His glory and His anointing. Fear not man, but yea, trust thou in the Lord. For the Lord God is your shield and buckler. Yea, the Lord God shall be with thee in the days ahead. The Lord God shall meet every need. The Lord God shall open new treasures and new doors. The Lord God shall send thee forth, and thou shalt be anointed, and thou shalt speak forth the truth that I have put in thy heart. Yea, run with the message that I've given you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, God. Praise you, God.
I feel like I got a word for Glenn and Irma today, mostly for Glenn.
Oh, Irma?
And I don't do this with a lot of faith, but trembling legs. But I feel from the Lord, and it's encouragement. For the Lord would say unto you, my son, this day, as my psalmist has said in Psalm 2, the Lord shall laugh and put them in derision. that have come against thee. But think it not strange concerning the trials and the tribulations and the things said, because it's nothing. And I would say unto thee, laugh, saith the Lord. Laugh, 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 laugh. Hallelujah! Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's stand together.
Praise God.
And he's enjoyed the meeting already.
Let's give the Lord praise. Amen.
Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Father, we thank you again for this precious day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the resurrection. And Lord, because of the death, burial, and resurrection, Lord, we're here today. We thank you, Lord, for your grace that's brought us here. Open the Word up to us, Lord, as we go approach it today. Let us approach it reverently, Lord, and open our hearts to receive it. And everybody said, in Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise God. Let's turn today to Scripture. Just turn to the Song of Solomon. We may touch on that a few minutes. How many's ever read the Song of Solomon? How many understand it? It's a tremendous book, isn't it? Let's turn, first of all, in Genesis. Let's go to Genesis. I think it's chapter 2 or 3 here. I want to go there first, but we'll go a little bit to the Song of Solomon. I was going to teach in Revelation again this morning, but I had it already, but I feel we may just touch on the Song of Solomon today. Praise God. Look in Genesis 2, and look in verse 10. I'm very glad you came today. Amen. Amen. Genesis 2:10. Let's read it together if you have your Bible. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now, as long as this river was in the garden, it was one river. But when it came out of the garden, it spread out into four parts or four heads. And we know that out of unity will come diversity. Out of unity will come diversity. And how many thank God for the river of God that flows today? Amen? The Holy Spirit. And you know, in Revelation, you see not only the river of life, but what else do you see there? Come on. The tree of life. And in the tree of life, we're partaking of Him, aren't we? And that river is flowing out through us to others as well. So you receive, and you also what? Come on. Give. Amen. Of that which God has put in us. Now, in the Scriptures, we know there is the garden here in Genesis. Over in Ezekiel, it's called the house. Jesus said, out of your belly, come on, shall what? Flow what? Rivers of living water. And then John saw that river again there in Revelation 22. And let's read that. Let's go to Revelation 22 and read that. Verse 1. And see what he says here. 22:1. He said, he showed me a pure river of water. Do you believe that God's river is pure? Yes. Amen. A pure river of water of life. It's not only pure, but it's life. Hallelujah. And how many know when that water gets in you, it brings forth life? Yes. Clear as crystal. Proceeding out. Notice, let's see where it's proceeding. Out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Where's the Lamb out today, brethren? Come on. He's in us, isn't that right? He's at the Father's right hand, but He's in us by the Spirit, isn't that right? And so that river is also flowing out of you and out of me. So there's a river out of the garden. There's a river out of the house. It's out of our belly. It's out of the throne. Now go to Ezekiel 40, I think it's 44, somewhere through there. I want to look at this one out of the house for just a second. Ezekiel chapter 44. And Ezekiel talks about the house, and he says here, I believe it's Ezekiel 44, isn't it? Let's see, maybe it's, let's see. Praise God. Let me see, it's 47? Which one? 47, thank you. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Afterward he brought me again to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. Now we're the house, aren't we? You and I. Eastward, for the forefront of the house stood towards the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. That's the place of worship. And then if you'll notice, it says here in verse 3, when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. Now, count these cubits as we read it here. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. How many remember when you was a little child? How many like to ever go out and play in the water? Come on, splash and play. Well, how many know we've all splashed and played in the water?
Amen.
As babies. Amen in the Lord. Young ones in the Lord. And that's fine, and that's good. And then he said he measured again 1,000 cubits, and then the waters came up to the knees. How many know that's your prayer life?
Amen.
That's your intercessor prayer life. Isn't that right? Praise God. And then he said he measured 1,000, and notice, he brought me through, he says, and measured here again, and he said the waters were to the loins. How many know that's a reproductive area? That's your strength. Hallelujah. And then afterward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Hallelujah. Now, how many thousands did you count there? 4,000. How many know that's 6,000 feet? And how many know we are in the sixth day from Adam? And somebody's ready to go swimming. Hallelujah. Come on, the fullness of God is coming to His church. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that with all my heart. And so we are that garden. We are that house. And we are out of our belly shall flow those rivers. And out of that throne, the water of God is also flowing. Praise the Lord. And so, we see something. In Genesis, that river was flowing. In Revelation, that river is flowing. Hallelujah. In Genesis, you have the tree of life. In Revelation, you have the tree of life. In Genesis, God put man to tend the garden, didn't he? How many know God has a new man in Revelation? And then there was the woman, Eve. Of course, we know Eve fell there in Genesis. But how many believe that God has His bride in the book of Revelation? We talked about yesterday. Amen? And then there was a serpent in Genesis. Now, we see that serpent in the book of Revelation. But how many know there's something different, though, from Genesis to Revelation? In Genesis, there was no wall. But in Revelation, there's a wall around the city, around the bride. And how many know the serpent cannot penetrate that wall? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. God has put up a wall around the bride, around the city. Hallelujah. And that wall, whether you know or not, represents the overcomers, the sons of God. That will be her protection. Look in Zechariah 2. I think there's a scripture in Zechariah 2. Zechariah, I believe it's Zechariah 2, or somewhere through there, I want to find a scripture about this wall. Hallelujah. And I forgot what verse it is. It's 2:5. Zechariah 2:5. And the Lord said, "For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire." How many believe our God is a consuming fire again this morning?
Amen.
And it is a wall of fire. It round about is protection. And will be the glory in the midst of her. So God has His consuming fire around this bride. Amen? Hallelujah. How many believe that? Now go back to Genesis where we started. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. And the scripture says in Genesis 2 that as this river came out of the garden, it parted into four heads. Then verse 11, notice it says, the name of the first is Pison, that is, which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is delium, and notice something else, the onyx stone. So you have gold, delium, and the onyx stone. That's almost like the New Testament, which says gold, silver, come on, and precious stone. You remember that scripture? 1 Corinthians 3. Now, the onyx stone was on the shoulders. The onyx stone was on the shoulders of the high priest. Exodus 28. How many know that scripture? How many know the government is on his shoulder? Now, whenever you have God's river flowing, whenever God's river is flowing, the pure river of God, you will have the government of God in the midst of the people. But whenever the river of God is not allowed to flow, you will have wood, hay, and stubble. And the fire of God shall consume the wood, the hay, and the stubble. Can you hear that? How many believe that? Hallelujah. Now, how many know that this water flowed out of the garden? Man sinned. Where did man sin? Come on. In the garden. Man was put out of the garden. Amen? How many know Jesus prayed in the garden? Jesus was betrayed in the garden. Jesus was crucified in a garden. I'll show it to you in a minute. I mean, Jesus was laid in the garden. And Jesus rose in the garden. How many know we are the garden today? Look in John 19. Praise you, Lord. How many thank God for Jesus? Thank God. And aren't you glad he's not in that grave? Hallelujah. Look in verse 41 of John 19. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was what?
A garden.
There was a garden. And in that garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. And there laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Praise God. So Jesus was crucified in the garden. Well, if he was crucified in the garden, how many know he rose from the garden? Amen? Hallelujah. I want to say again. Man sinned in the garden. Man was put out of the garden. Jesus prayed in the garden. Jesus was betrayed in the garden. Man was crucified. Jesus himself crucified in the garden. He was laid in the garden there in the tomb. And he rose in the garden. And we are the garden today. Isaiah 51. Let's see that. Isaiah 51. Hallelujah. What kind of garden does the Lord have? Let's see it. Isaiah 51, verse 3. Verse 3. And it says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. How many need some comfort this morning? How many of the Holy Spirit can comfort each one of us? He will comfort all her waste places. Now, what is my waste places? It's those things in our soul. How many know there's some waste places in all of us? Mm-hmm. And he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. And let's see what's in this garden. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. God's garden has joy and gladness and thanksgiving and the voice of melody. I mean, that's Jesus in the garden. Come on, somebody say amen. I said, that's Jesus in the garden. Now turn to 58th chapter, Isaiah 58, and look at verse 9 through 11. We know this is the fasting chapter. This is a chapter we don't like to read. Well, no, we like it. Verse 9, chapter 58, verse 9. Then shall thou call, the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee, notice, the yoke. How many know we have a lot of yokes upon us? It must be broken. Isn't that right? The anointing breaks every yoke. Isn't that true? The putting forth of the finger pointer, and speaking vanity, if thou shalt draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then thy light shall rise in obscurity, that thy darkness shall be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like what? Come on, what are we going to be like? A watered garden. Notice, a watered garden. God's anointing, God's river, God's Spirit shall water that garden. Amen? And like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Praise God. Now let's go to the Song of Solomon. Turn left where you are to the Song of Solomon. Thank God for the Song of Solomon. Do you know how many songs Solomon wrote? 1,005. He was a songwriter. How many know some have a talent to write songs? Thank God for those who hear God and can write songs for our day and time. Amen? I like to sing the old songs, but I like new, fresh songs. Don't you? And over in Scripture, the Bible says, sing a new song to the Lord. A new song. Now, look at verse 1. Let's just see this song. He said, the song of songs, which is Solomon's. This was the song above all the songs that he wrote. Song of songs. Holy of Holies, King of Kings, contrast to vanity of vanities. But here's the song of songs that this man wrote, which is Solomon's. How many know when God gives you a song, it's yours? But it's also for the body of Christ. Hallelujah. It's for the body of Christ.
And so, this is the song that we have here recorded. 8 chapters. And you know, brethren, in all these chapters, in many of these chapters, the little maid, which is a picture of the Lord's people, she's doing a lot of the talking. But as she begins to mature and grow up, she stops doing a lot of the talking, and he does most of it. And how many know when we get saved, we know it all? We got all the answers. Isn't that right? Come on, don't shout me down. You know it's true. But as you mature and grow in the Lord, you realize that we don't know very much. Come on. He is all. Isn't that right? He has all the answers. Verse 2. Let him kiss me. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love, come on, is better than wine. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now, I believe there's a difference in this kiss. And if you look over in chapter 5, turn to chapter 5, verse 16. I believe there's a difference in chapter 1 and chapter 16. And the little maid did not realize that the little kiss that he gave her in chapter 1 would lead her into some tribulation and trouble to get her to come to this chapter. How many thank God for his kisses, though? 5:16, his mouth. See? His mouth is most sweet. We're not looking at this in a carnal way, a spiritual way. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. There's a difference in a love tap and a real kiss, isn't there? Now, the Bible said in chapter 1, there again, let him kiss me. He initiates the kiss. Aren't you glad he found you? He come knocking on your door. Amen? We found him because he found us first. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. This kiss is initiated by Jesus. It speaks of intimacy. Face to face. When you kiss someone, it's face to face. In the natural. And how many know he wants to bring us to a place where we're face to face? Hold your place. Look in Revelation 22. Look in Revelation 22. Look at verse 4. Revelation 22 and verse 4. Hallelujah. This is where God is bringing his people. Verse 4, and they shall see his face. Hallelujah. They shall see his face. That is intimacy. That is relationship. That is fellowship. That is a union with the Lord. They shall see his face. And notice, his name or his nature shall be in their foreheads. Which means they have the mind of Christ. How many believe it's marking us? He's sealing us. Hallelujah. And so, as he seals us, he's bringing us closer to his face. Hallelujah. With intimacy and worship and communion. Amen. Thank God. His nature, his name, shall be in our foreheads. And how many thank God for the mind of Christ today? Over our minds. Amen. And so, this kiss is face to face. And it's usually someone you love that you're kissing. Praise God. And your eye to eye, so to speak, mouth to mouth. But it's someone, when you kiss, for instance, your wife, you desire to do that. Or your wife kisses her husband. There's a desire. And so here, Jesus is kissing us. Now, when he begins to kiss us, what happens? When Jesus saved you, how many know he kissed you? You believe that? I know in my life, I believe it. When he delivered us, come on, he's kissing us. Filled the Holy Ghost, he kissed you. When you get a prophetic word, when you desperately need a word from the Lord, he's kissing you. Amen? When he sends prosperity your way, in whichever dimension it comes, he's kissing you. When you begin to mature in the Lord, he's kissing you. Amen? How many know every day he's kissing? Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. And you know, in the Song of Solomon, he says, kiss me. Now listen to these words. Kiss me. Draw me. Tell me. Stay me. There's a message in all this that I can't get into this morning. Let me, come with me, open to me, overcome me, set me. How many believe that he's concerned for us? Jesus is concerned for us. Praise God. Now back to chapter 1. What did it say? Let him kiss me with what? The kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Now, what happened on the day of Pentecost? God poured out his spirit and the people said they are what? Drunk with what? Wine. Well, how many of them were drunk with new wine? The wine of the Spirit. Isn't that right? And how many believe that the Holy of Holies is greater than the holy place? Huh? Uh-huh. Now, there is faith. Come on. Hope. and love. And how many know love is in that Holy of Holies, the fullness of it I'm talking about? And that Holy of Holies is greater than the holy place. Thank God for Pentecost. That's the part realm. But how many know he's bringing us to the full realm? I have been forgiven. I've been filled. But there is a fullness that God's bringing the first fruits to. Amen? Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for being filled with the Pentecost experience. But don't stop there. Amen? We're moving towards the fullness, or tabernacles. Isn't that right? The Feast of Tabernacles. Hallelujah. And yet right here in chapter 1, he says, that love is better than wine. The greater dimension of the Holy of Holies is even greater than that which experienced in the holy place. Can you hear that this morning? Hallelujah. Now, let's stop here just a minute. Let me give you three scriptures that I believe is vital for the Song of Solomon. Look in chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4 is a key. You can just read it to yourself there. And then in chapter 2, verse 4. Now, here's Pentecost. Look at this. He brought me to his banqueting house. Margin says the house of wine. How many know that is Pentecost? And he brought us there. Are you glad he brought you? Amen. He brought me to the banqueting house. His banner, hallelujah, over me was love. Then look in 3:4. 1:4, 2:4, 3:4, no more. 3:4 of the song. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, would not let him go until I brought him to my mother's house into the chamber of her that conceived me. Those are three scriptures that are important, I believe, here in the Song of Solomon. Now let's go back to chapter 1 just a minute. Praise God. He said in verse 3, because of the savor of thine good ointments, thy name or nature is an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me. Now notice here, three things. Draw me and we will run after thee. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will remember, be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Notice three things in verse 4. First of all, there's the prayer. Draw me. You ever pray that? Do you ever pray, draw me, Lord? Amen. And then she said, we will run after thee. After thee. That's a commitment. He draws, we run. And the third thing is, the results, what's the third thing? It says in this verse, he's brought me into his chambers. Hallelujah. So we cry out to the Lord, Lord, draw us. We make that commitment, and the results is he draws us into his chambers. Hallelujah. Thank God. And then verse 5. Look at verse 5. I'm just hurriedly going through this. I am black but comely. Now as she begins to be kissed, and as she is being drawn unto the Lord, and she's beginning to run after him. And by the way, when it says there in verse 4, where it says, we will be glad and rejoice in thee, the king has brought me into his chambers, and we will run after thee. How many know that we is your spirit, your soul, and your body? It's all of you. But if I get to running in the Lord, how many know it's going to affect somebody else? Isn't that right? How many believe that? Now in verse 5, now she begins to get a revelation. Once again, that he's kissing her, he's drawing her, she's running after him, and then she begins to see something in verse 5. And how many know it's good to get your eyes open? Of where we are, amen? How many got your eyes open this weekend? In some area, amen. I am black, but comely. There's the two natures right there. There's the old man, and there's the new man. Can you hear that? And how many know those two nations are in us that our sister spoke about yesterday afternoon? Those two natures. And she was talking about Esau and Jacob. God said, I hate Esau, but I love Jacob. How many know God hates the flesh man? Amen? I am black but comely. O you daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me because I'm black, because, here's why, the S-U-N, who is the S-O-N, hath looked upon me. Hallelujah. How many know it's good to see yourself? We can always see the mistakes in others, but how many know it's good to see ourselves? Come on now, don't shout me down. It's good to see me. Amen? Hallelujah. Get a revelation of yourself. You got a revelation, don't you? Because the Son hath looked upon me, my mother's children, and I call these mother's children here, I call them the worldly church members. That's who I call them. The religious system. My mother's children were what? Angry with me. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of anger in the religious systems of this world. The greatest danger ahead will be those who will literally despise you and hate you for your faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Not everybody really loves Jesus, and not everybody loves you. Amen? Hold your place. Look in John 16. John 16. Look at verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, "These things have I spoken to you that you should not be offended." What did Brother speak on last night? Offense. Offense. He said, when this happens, don't be offended. Know that God is permitting it, allowing it, or whatever. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Have you ever been put out? Anybody been put out? Okay, some of you. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you. How many know it's more than just killing you with a sword or a gun? How many know people can kill your influence? That you can destroy a man with your tongue. Isn't that right? In a community, in a wherever he's at. Yea, the time cometh whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. And I don't know the times God has spoken to me about religiosity. I was in Indiana recently. God began to speak to me again about it. And I began to write all the scriptures down, but I didn't get to preach it. I'm telling you, religion kills, destroys. Amen? Hallelujah. Back in chapter 1 of Song of Solomon, though, she says, as she begins to get her eyes open, she begins to see herself, she begins to see this anger rise up in all the other religious people. And she said, my mother's children were angry with me. And notice they made me. How many know there's something called dominion also in the church? They made me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard have I not kept. How many know you can get so busy in religious work you forget your relationship with Jesus? Amen? Work, work, work. Workaholics. Even for the Lord. And yet you neglect your prayer life, the study of the Word, and seeking the Lord, and you will suffer for it, won't you? And won't I? So as she is being drawn to the Lord and she sees herself, now she sees all the works that were not of the Lord. How many know God wants us to become a eunuch? Which means out of ourselves, out of our flesh, we do nothing. Amen? We only do that which pleases the Lord. We only do that which the Spirit directs us to do. Amen? There are many people who put you in a corner and tell you to do this and do that, but you've got to know it's God. Hallelujah. And so she said, I've neglected my own vineyard. Even though I've worked in the vineyards, I've neglected my own. I haven't kept my own vineyard. Amen. And then in verse 7, she sees something else. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Tell me something else, she says. Where are you feeding? Well, there's different places in the Song of Solomon he's feeding. And one scripture says he's feeding among the lilies. But she said, where are you feeding? Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Noon is when the sun is hot, it's bright and shiny. And he said, she said, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And he said, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. Where's the Lord going to lead us? Where the sheep are. He's going to lead us where the sheep are. But I want to tell you something. There are people who don't want to be associated with the local body. How many know that's rebellion? Now go to Psalms 107. I could give you a lot of reasons for the local church. But we need the local fellowship. Amen. Where God places us. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Psalms 107, is that right? Let's see here. Yeah, 107. Look at verse 41. Psalms 107, 41. Yet setteth he the poor. And I'm not talking about those who have holes in their pants and shoes. I'm talking about the poor in spirit. He sets the poor on high from affliction, and he makes him families like a flock. How many thank God for the flock where you are? Amen? God puts us in flocks, doesn't he? We're not all in the same big flock. I mean, we're part of the universal body of Christ. But how many know God puts us in our own local flock? Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Then he said, verse 42, the righteous shall see it. The righteous shall see this, and they'll rejoice. And all iniquity or rebellion, come on, shall stop her mouth. How many know the local church will deliver you from rebellion? And how many know God will put you with people you don't even like? Come on now, isn't that right? He'll put you with people you don't like in the natural. Hallelujah. But how many know he's working on all of us? Come on now. And yet he said, iniquity shall stop her mouth. Where? Where God put you in the flock. Whoso is wise will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And it is his loving kindness that puts us with the people sometimes that we don't even like. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. How many thank God that some rebellion's being worked out of all of us? Amen? You know, brethren, when the man of Gadara had those 6,000 devils cast out of him, you remember he came back and he said, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to be with you. The Lord told him to go back home. How many want to be with the Lord? Where's the Lord at today? In his body. You want to find Jesus? Find his body. Amen? You want to be with the Lord today? Find his body. You'll find him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now look in chapter 4 of Song of Solomon. Look in chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Verse 12. Here the garden is singular, and then later we see it's plural. You individually are a garden, and yet we are the gardens of God. Amen? Verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, and a fountain sealed. Thy plants are as orchard, an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor, spikenard, saffron, calamus, cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh, aloes, and all the chief spices. Do you know that's the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit? In you and in me that God's putting in us. The nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now verse 15. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. Now look at verse 16. Do you ever pray this? Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. We like the south wind, but we don't always like that north wind, do we? How many know that's testings? Come on, that's tribulations. How many has had some north wind blow across your prairie lately? Amen. But notice the cry, Awake, O north wind, come thou south, blow upon my garden. Now, how many know when you get the north and south winds together, you got tornadic winds where I live? We live in Tornado Alley. Anybody else live there? Hallelujah. And you'll notice something, it says, blow upon my garden. In our immaturity, it's our garden. But how many know when we grow up in the Lord, we'll begin to see it's not ours, it's his. Come on. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And notice what it says. Why? Why would he blow upon our garden? That those spices, those fruits, may flow out. First comes the blow, and then comes the flow. Without the blow, there's no flow. Somebody said, well, I wish I could reach other people. Let him blow upon your land. Let him bring the north and south winds. Hallelujah. And there will be a flow. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Wake, O north wind, come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved, that's Jesus, come into his, notice, it's his garden, and eat his pleasant fruits. You know we can spread a table for the Lord? Do you know that? We got this gospel today. Gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. Amen. Listen, brother, it's more than just God, give me, give me, give me. How many know God wants us to give to him? What do we give? That which he's put in us. That character, that life, that nature that he's put in us, we give it back unto him. Hallelujah. And we say, come, Lord, and partake. Revelation 21 again. He said, I stand at the door and what? If any man open, I will come in and sup with him. Sup with, he's going to eat first. And then he will sup with me. Spread the table for the Lord. Hallelujah. To come. And partake. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, look in chapter 5 and verse 1. I am come into my garden. My sister, my spouse, I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. You're talking about a relationship. It's starting here. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends. Drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. So he said, I am come into my garden. Christ in us is, come on, the hope of glory. Amen? Then in chapter 6, there's so much I'm just skipping over, but chapter 6, man, there's so much in these chapters. I taught it one time, I taught this Song of Solomon, verse by verse, all the way through. Chapter 6, I went into a lot of things. Verse 1. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? And then she remembers she couldn't find him in chapter 5. She's telling all about the Lord and all what he looked like and what she got through. They were convinced of this, these different ones here. And then she says, I remember where he's at. My beloved has gone down into his garden to the beds of spices to feed. There it is again. To feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's gone down into his garden. Aren't you glad he's in you today? Aren't you glad he ministers life to us today? Aren't you glad that you have a witness of the Holy Ghost in your life? Hallelujah. That river is flowing. Praise God. Look at verse 11. This proves that we're the garden. Because he said, I went down into the garden of nuts. Come on. Amen. Why did he go there? Why did he go there? Dr. Null's laughing back there. I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits. Fruity, fruity. All right. To see the fruits of the valley. Where's that at? Where are the fruits, brethren? Where are they grown? In the valley. In the garden. And to see whether the vine flourished, the pomegranates budded. Hallelujah. Now, look in chapter 8. Chapter 8. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 13. And she said, thou that dwellest in the gardens, thou that dwellest in the gardens. He hadn't just come into us. He's dwelling in us, isn't he? I mean, Jesus said the Spirit would not only be with you, but he shall be in you forever. Hallelujah. That thou dwellest in the gardens. And then he said the companions. And I thought of the scripture in Revelation 1. John was a companion. Remember that? In tribulation on the Isle of Patmos. There was others there with him. You know that. He was one of the companions with others that was in tribulation. And he was there for the word of God and the testimony that held. Hallelujah. He was there in tribulation. And how many know that in tribulation, we need to know that he's in our garden. Can you hear me? Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions, notice, here's what they do. And brethren, when you're in tribulation, you need to hear a word from God, don't you? How many know when you can get a word from God, you can stand and go on through? Amen? Hallelujah. How many ever pray for intercessors when you're in the valley? Come on. Brethren, pray to God for God to raise up intercessors to pray for you when you're in the valley of decision. Amen? Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions, hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. And I want to tell you, trials are real. Look back to verse 6 of chapter 5, just a second. Then I want to touch that voice of God there for just a couple minutes. Chapter 5, and look at verse 6. She said, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved hath withdrawn himself. Now, how many know that we're tested several ways? Let me tell you 5 ways if I can think of them. Number 1, you're tested by your successes. When you're successful, you're tested. Number 2, you're tested when you fail. And how many know we've all failed in some area? Well, we've all been successful in some area. And we're tested in that furnace of affliction where we're actually chosen. And how many know the furnace gets hot sometimes? And then number 4, we're tested this way. God leaves some of the enemy in your land and in my land to see what we're going to do about it. Would you like to see a scripture on that? Turn to Judges 2, and then I'll give you the 5th point in just a second. Judges chapter 2. Praise God. Judges chapter 2. In verse 21, God says to his people, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before thee, before them, of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them, that is those nations, I may prove Israel. Is God proving us today? Yes. How? By our enemies. Whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many as Israel, of Israel, as have not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. So God leaves some of the enemy in our land to see what we're going to do about it, to teach us war and so forth. And then the fifth way that we're tested is, how many believe that God will ignore you? And God will hide from you. You ever had that experience? Say it this way. The Bible said in Chronicles, I think it's Chronicles 32, one of the, I forget which, first or second, concerning Hezekiah, it said God left him to try him to see what was in his heart. How many know God knows our heart? But we don't, always. Amen? God withdraws our consciousness at times of his presence. And you are thrust head on with your enemy. Come on, you don't hear God, feel God, or see God. But how many know he's there? That's what actually happened in chapter 5 of the Song of Solomon. She couldn't find God. And here's what she said in chapter 5, verse 6. She said, I opened to my beloved. But my beloved had what? Come on. Withdrawn himself. He pulled away. And was gone. Then she said something that I'm really glad is in the Bible here. My soul failed. Let me tell you, our soul, our old soul, will fail us. I mean, we need his mind, his will, his desires, his emotions. Amen? My soul, there's so much soul power in us and in the church. We need to bind soul power. Ever read the book, The Latent Power of the Soul by Watchman Nee? I thought it was a good book. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called, but he gave me no answer. Then the watchman, here's the ministry. They went about the city, they found me, and they smote me. You ever been smitten by ministry? Maybe in a bad way, or maybe in a good way. Hallelujah. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I'm like a streetwalker now. Now look at verse 8. Everybody read verse 8 with me. Come on. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him I am sick of love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm sick of love. And so he had withdrawn himself. And then, of course, chapter 6, she finds him, and so forth. Now, I want to go back to chapter, I believe it's chapter 1. I think it's chapter 1. Praise God. Just a couple more scriptures and we're done. I've got so much I could go into here. It's a verse I'm looking for here. Just a second. Praise God. Okay, look in chapter 3. This is also mentioned in chapter 2, verse 7. But look in chapter 3, verse 5. I want you to see this verse, brethren. It's important. I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor wake my love till he please. Now notice the little phrase here, rose and hinds. What is that? Is that male and female? It is, isn't it? Look in chapter 8. It is not even mentioned in chapter 8, and there's a reason. Look in chapter 8. Hallelujah. Chapter 8. Look at verse 4. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up, nor wake my love, tell he please. He left out the rose and hinds, didn't he? I mean, chapter 8 is a mature chapter. And in Christ, there's neither male nor female. I mean, God's not looking if you're a man or woman, if you're moving in the Spirit. Now, we don't do away with your humanity, but how many know he's not looking at that? He's looking at our obedience. Huh? Amen. If we be man or if we be woman. Praise God. One other verse, I'm done. Look in chapter 2. Chapter 2. Oh, there's so much in here. Several in here about the voice of God I'd like to get into. But in chapter 2, look in verse 10. How many thank God for his voice today? I thank God for his voice. I thank God for speaking into me many times when I really needed it. Chapter 2, verse 10. My beloved spake and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. And how many are glad that winter is gone in the natural as well? Well, it's maybe your testing time. The flowers appear on the earth. And how many know we're now entering spring? Hallelujah. How many thank God for springtime? Life. Resurrection life. And how many know Jesus, hallelujah, is our resurrection? The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. And how many like to hear those little birds out there singing in the morning? Revelation 14 says that 144,000 sings a new song. Hallelujah. They're God's birds singing. The army of God. And listen to this now. Listen to this verse now. And the voice, here it is, the voice of the turtle or the turtle dove is heard in our land. How many know he's speaking today? The Lord is speaking. So, brethren, we are that garden. Amen. Hallelujah. That he has come into and he will yet come into. Are you hearing me? There's a people that must take on his fullness to be ready for his literal, visible return from heaven. Hallelujah. Invite him into your garden. Let's stand. Amen. Praise God. How many know we've got to keep out all the weeds? Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, thank you for your body today. And Lord, we thank you that you are in our garden. You're in our hearts. And Lord, we bless you. We praise you, Lord, that you are mindful of each one of us here to save us, to fill us, and now, Lord, to mature us. Lord, as we leave this place today, let the meeting of this week be in our hearts. The things we have saw, the things we have heard, Lord, let it bring glory and honor to you. But Lord, let us not just keep it in our hearts. Let us, Lord, share it with others. Bless the campground. Bless Glenn and Irma. And all the people, Lord, as they go home and as they go their ways, we ask your choice blessings and peace be upon them, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone in this place said, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.